Investor Brand Network, IBN, a multifaceted communications organization engaged in connecting public companies to the investment community, is pleased to announce the launch of the Stock to Me podcast as part of its sustained audio communications effort to provide specialized content distribution via widespread syndication channels. The following Stock to Me podcast is an Investor Brand Network audio production and may feature a client partner of IBN. Investor Brand Network may have been compensated for the production of this podcast. Please be sure to read our entire disclaimer for full disclosure. Thank you, and here today is your host of the Stock to Me podcast.
Well, as you just heard, you are dialed into the Stock to Me podcast brought to you by the Investor Brand Network. Today, we're lucky enough to be joined by VistaGen Therapeutics Incorporated. They're traded on the NASDAQ underneath the ticker symbol VTGN. And we are welcoming to the show the Chief Executive Officer for the company, Sean Singh. Sean, how are you today?
Hey, Stuart. Doing really well. Thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. Thank you so much for making time for us here today at the Stock to Me podcast. We'd like to learn about you as the CEO and more about how you got to where you are today. But I know before we get started, Sean, you had some safe harbor forward-looking statement language that you wanted to go through.
Oh, you're right. Thanks for that, Stuart. So as you noted, we are a public company traded on NASDAQ. So I will be making forward-looking statements to you during the course of this discussion today. And I encourage listeners to review our filings with the SEC for further information on any risks associated with our business.
Well, and listeners, I do want to point out that if you use that ticker symbol again, VTGN, and you pull up the company's recent news, you can find those forward-looking statements at the bottom of their press release. And of course, you can find them here on this page where you found this recording. Just scroll down and you'll see the disclaimer for this. So Sean, as I said, love to learn more about you and how you got into this business. And of course, we'll learn more about VistaGen Therapeutics Incorporated as well.
Sure. Well, briefly, I plunged into the biotech world back in the early 90s. I was first working as a corporate finance attorney at a global law firm, Morrison & Foerster, in Silicon Valley, and had a lot of transactional flow in both high-tech and biotech back then. And early on, it was real clear that I preferred working on deals that involved biotech more than high-tech and biopharma, really the whole life sciences industry. And ultimately, I've just decided very clearly I wanted a more direct role in developing medicines, raising capital for companies, driving decision-making that could result in therapies that change people's lives. So about 30 years ago, I moved into my first company. It was a company I had helped take public on NASDAQ, and a venture capital firm, a contract research organization, and a couple other private and public companies, all led to the point where I am now, which is, as you noted, CEO of Vistagen Therapeutics.
Well, Sean, thanks so much for that. Let me also point out to the listeners, you can learn more about this company at their website, VistaGen.com. That's VistaGen.com. And of course, visit them on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So, Sean, how do you believe your company, VistaGen Therapeutics, can change the biotech landscape going forward?
Well, the biopharma landscape here is really what we're focused on, and throughout the many years I've been in this space, I really haven't been satisfied with the treatment alternatives that have been available to people all around the world who are suffering from mental illness, especially anxiety and depression. And I've always thought we could do, as an industry, a much better job, not only raising awareness, but more importantly, developing much better treatments to help people that are suffering from these indications day to day. So VistaGen provides, I think, an opportunity for tremendous excitement given what we're working on in our pipeline. We have three drug candidates. All of them are focused on really trying to go beyond the current standard of care for anxiety, for depression, for other CNS or central nervous system disorders. So the lead drug candidate, PH94B, is for anxiety disorders. PH10 is for depression disorders. And then we have AV101, which is for both depression and neurological disorders. And what's exciting about all of these and where we see some game-changing potential in the landscape is the way they work and how fundamentally different we think each of them is from current treatment alternatives for anxiety, such as benzodiazepines, or depression, such as the current antidepressants that are SSRIs or SNRIs. The way a drug works, obviously, and the way it works in the brain for a neuropsychiatric indication is critical. And you can't worry and cause patients to worry that it'll take a long time to see if there's a benefit from the drug or the side effects and the safety concerns underlying the treatment itself are as troubling as the underlying condition. So we've got, I think, an opportunity based on the drug development programs we've got moving to really swing the paradigm into a different direction where patients can learn faster whether a drug is going to deliver a benefit, and they're not going to have to, during that period, worry as much about the types of side effects and safety concerns that are associated with current therapy.
Well, you bring up a great point there with some of the challenges with the current therapies. Now, for yourself as a biopharmaceutical company, this year, 2020, has presented many companies, no matter the sector, with some unique challenges. But what do you see as some of the challenges your company faces specifically this year and beyond?
Well, the industry as a whole has got a lot of resolve and a lot of tenacity and a lot of perseverance and a lot of patient endurance. So all of us in the biotech and biopharma industries have a passion that drives us through all the challenges, all the hoops and hurdles related to drug development. We're no different than the rest of our colleagues. So we embrace the challenges as they come. There's never really a perfect straight line from start to finish, but you have to figure out how to navigate within your ecosystem of partners and deal with circumstances that arise unexpectedly sometimes. So COVID certainly was an unexpected challenge for all of us in drug development, as well as the FDA and other regulatory authorities. So that's a challenge right now. I think fortunately, after many months now of trying to embrace some of the changes necessary in order to effectively execute clinical and preclinical programs, manufacturing programs, I think we're doing a good job. I think we're doing a really good job as an industry, and Vistagen itself is doing a terrific job just to try to stay on track and make it possible to execute clinical programs as well as non-clinical studies involving staff and patients in a safe manner. So coming up with those kinds of protocols, changing certain conditions related to clinical trial execution, these are all things that we've been working through, and we will all get through these challenges and get back into a more routinized development mode, I think, as we turn the corner into 21.
Well, you brought up CNS earlier, central nervous system disorders. Let's talk about the landscape for CNS. What does the future look like for CNS and the treatments thereof?
I think the future is bright, terrifically bright. And a lot of that has to do, I think, with what we are developing internally here. FDA just came out on September 23rd in the anxiety arena with a pretty substantial warning and requirement for updating the boxed warning labels for benzodiazepines, which are often used. 92 million prescriptions of benzodiazepines, according to the FDA last year, largely for anxiety disorders. And these are the class of medicines that, similar to, unfortunately, the way the opioid epidemic has arisen and been sustained, the benzo epidemic is equally worrisome. So there is a risk of abuse, of misuse, of overuse, tolerance, of addiction. These medicines really have served their purpose. They've helped people, certain, no doubt, but not without risks. And we see a drug like PH94B being in a potential mode now as we enter phase three in 2021 to displace them, to deliver a rapid onset effect, an anti-anxiety effect, but without some, without really any of the major side effects and safety concerns that have been highlighted by the FDA in the recent press release. So that's exciting to be able to provide, unfortunately, an alarming and staggering increase in the prevalence of anxiety, not surprisingly, as a result of 2020's events, COVID-19 pandemic, social unrest, pressures from social media. Many of the diverse impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic have resulted, we believe, in increases in the prevalence of both anxiety disorders and depression disorders. So we need medications to treat what is expected to be an increasing need in the mental illness arena that really have the ability to provide a signal quickly and have the ability to deliver that benefit without substantial side effects and safety concerns. So with PH94 being PH10, at least I can speak to our excitement and the fact that we think both product candidates fit growing needs in the mental health arena.
Well, and it doesn't hurt that now you have celebrities and even Dak Prescott, NFL football player, and Michael Phelps, Olympic swimmer. You know, now people are willing to talk about this. And you're right, the pandemic caused severe isolation for some, and those without family and living alone, that can cause that anxiety and depression. So point well made and taken there. Listeners, I want to point out BioMed News Breaks, and you can get those at biomedwire.com. Great way to learn more about VistaGen is at biomedwire.com. You're listening to the Stock to Me podcast brought to you by the Investor Brand Network. Sean, let's change gears a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the company as a public company, as you pointed out, and we both pointed out at the introduction. How do you think the market, what do you think the market may have wrong about your company? Or maybe what is the market missing about VistaGen?
It's always a challenging question. There really are so many positive aspects that require attention, and that's often challenging in an environment where a lot of investors are taking a drink of water out of a fire hose of opportunities. I think what we've got as a company, and when people do spend even a modest amount of time really digging into the data that we've generated, and this is a science and clinical medicine-driven company. It has to be in order to be successful. Whether or not the market sees it at any particular time, we drive our confidence from the key opinion leaders, the clinicians, the scientists, the regulators, our partners. We just signed a partnership that takes many months through rigorous due diligence. We received $5 million up front in cash. In connection with that partnership, there's potential for another $172 million in milestone payments plus royalties for some markets in Asia. And, you know, that's leaving the United States markets completely to VistaGen. So these are major markets, massive markets that have really very clear current standard of care. And I think when there's an assessment of what people have today at their fingertips, both medical health professionals and mental health professionals, as well as patients. These are medicines that have been around for a long time. The antidepressants that we all know of, the anti-anxiety drugs we all know of, benzodiazepines, their profiles are clear. Their limitations are clear. What needs to happen is we need to go beyond those, beyond the current therapies, to improve them. And I think that's what we're offering. And we're in a mode now where, no, you don't. Not every season is a harvest for a biotech company. There are periods of time where you have to do the planting and the watering and the fertilizing, and then you get data. The harvest is data. So the clinical data underlying our drug development programs are highly statistically significant. And once reviewed, it really does allow someone to understand the potential these drug candidates have to make a game-changing difference in the mental health arena for large, very large, 40 million Americans even before COVID were wrestling with anxiety disorders, about 17, 18 million wrestling with depression disorders pre-COVID, pre-civil unrest, pre-2020. And we were seeing skyrocketing increases in the use of these drugs. So the market needs better alternatives, and we think we're delivering those in a late-stage mode, which is typically where you might see a bit more robust valuation than typically, but Look, as I said, it's all about reviewing the science, the data, and the potential that a pipeline has based on its science and its clinical data, and the regulatory pathway and the commercial market that is target. And ours is a case where there is not a single shot on goal story. Each of these drug candidates has multiple shots on goal within the therapeutic area. So, for example, PH94B, not only does it have potential in the phase 3 program we're entering in 2021 for social anxiety disorder, but also postpartum anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, preoperative anxiety, before you take an MRI. PH94B is really similar to really how a rescue inhaler, you might think of a rescue inhaler before an asthma attack or a migraine drug right before a migraine episode. For an anxiety situation, an anxiety-provoking scenario, those with social anxiety disorder can often predict the anxiety-provoking stressor in their life, going to see a doctor, going to a job interview, going on a date, even eating alone in a food court, going on a subway, giving a public speech, playing a sport. These are everyday scenarios that most people can wrestle with very effectively. If you are struggling with social anxiety disorder, these are tremendously debilitating. They rise in you a fear of judgment, humiliation, embarrassment, to the point where they're just often not engaged. And so there's a lot of life opportunity costs associated with this indication. We have PH94B in a development mode where about 10 to 15 minutes before often a predictable anxiety-provoking situation arises, we see the benefit of PH94B working in that window. It takes, so far in clinical studies, about 10 to 15 minutes for the onset to take effect, and the duration seems to be for somewhere between 1 and 2 hours. So we're confident in its potential based on peer-reviewed, published phase 2 data by Dr. Michael Liebowitz, who's the innovator of the Liebowitz Social Anxiety Scale and the preeminent psychiatrist out of Columbia, most often known as the godfather of social anxiety disorder. We're confident about PH94B's potential in social anxiety disorder, but those are similar phenomena in other indications, like panic disorder. People going to get an MRI, for example, that struggles. That's a big struggle for people. People who have anxiety before surgery, new moms who have anxiety after delivering a new baby. Currently, the medications that you have to go to for anxiety disorders, really, they're challenging, and they have limitations, as the FDA pointed out recently. So we're in a mode where PH94B has multiple anxiety disorders. PH10, the second candidate, is not only for major depressive disorder, but it's targeting suicidal ideation, postpartum depression. AV101, the third candidate, has potential in not only depression, but also dyskinesia, that is a movement disorder associated with people who have Parkinson's who have to take a drug called levodopa. They develop a movement disorder as a result of taking the medicine for their Parkinson's disease. That's troubling to their day-to-day life. Epilepsy, neuropathic pain. So we're in a very exciting time where we're at a crossroads, not only as a company, but as a society, where we really, more than ever, need new generation alternatives. Patients need better alternatives to the current standard of care, which in many cases offer only limited benefits and limited opportunities for success.
Well, once again, we are speaking with Shawn Singh. He is the CEO of VistaGen Therapeutics Incorporated. VistaGen is a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company developing new generation medicines for anxiety, depression, and other CNS disorders where the current standard of care is inadequate, resulting in a high unmet need. Shawn, it's been an informative and fascinating interview with you today. I want to thank you for that first and foremost, but I also want to allow you the opportunity. Do you have any closing thoughts or comments you'd like to share with the listeners today?
Sure, Deuce. There are two things. First, our society as a whole has to do a much better job at normalizing mental illness. And it's critically important that we all work together and we destigmatize mental health issues in the same manner that we have for so many other illnesses, breast cancer, prostate cancer. Those diseases years ago were taboo to talk about. Today, you hear about them and it's, okay, that's the challenge. What's the game plan? Here are the options. Let's execute it. Let's try to get this turned around. The same thing can be done with mental illnesses. And it's very important. You know, everybody has anxiety, and anxiety is actually a good thing. It helps us to avoid walking forward into a barking dog. It avoids us to and heightens our senses so we don't cross the street dangerously. But when it becomes persistent, the same thing with depression, when it becomes a persistent state, couple of weeks or more, where it starts to impair normal functioning, daily functioning in your life, you need to seek help. And so not only do we need to destigmatize and make it okay to talk to employers and make about a mental health need, employers need to provide resources for their employees to seek assistance. It just needs to be okay among family and friends for people to talk about their struggles. And actually, if there's one possible silver lining from this whole tragedy of the COVID-19 pandemic, it's that it has become well understood and embraced to a much broader degree that mental illness and responses to the diverse impacts of the COVID have given rise to reasons why people might need help. Loss of a job, loss of a loved one, homeschooling, social isolation, inability to go on dates. These are disruptive to people's routines. And that disruption can lead to a persistent state that becomes an anxiety or depression disorder, or could even lead to suicidal thoughts and behaviors. So we need to be aware of those signs and signals, but we also need to be willing to embrace conversations that people are brave enough to bring up about help that they need. We have a great page on our website called Finding Help at Vistagen.com. There's a tremendous amount of support out there, and a lot of those resources are laid out on our website in the Finding Help page. So I encourage people to seek help. Psychotherapy, talk therapy is critical. The medications can only do so much, and they complement the talk therapy. So it is always necessary to anchor the effort to find help by talking to people, whether it's a mental health professional or even just family and friends. That's the first step. And then if there's a place for a medication to play a role to complement that, great. We'll do our part to bring medicines to the alternative table, but also talk therapy is going to continue to be the key first step to seeking help and to really achieving the life that the people want to be able to live. And that's what the bottom line of this all is about, trying to change lives and alter the way people are able to live so it's more in line with their ideal than whatever mental illness is in any way holding them back. So I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today, Stuart, and I encourage folks to take a look at our website, and if you have any questions, reach out to us through our IR team.
Well, thank you for that, Sean. Your passion for your company and this topic are readily apparent. I want to thank you again for that. Those comments. I mean, I think we all can look across our families and recognize that you know, whether it's a sibling, a wife, a daughter, a father, we all can say we have experience in this area. So I want to thank you for that. Listeners, once again, you are listening to the Stock to Me podcast. We're speaking with Sean Singh, Chief Executive Officer of Vistagen Therapeutics Incorporated. This wraps up our interview today. Sean, once again, thank you for your time.
All right, Stuart. Be well.
You as well. For Sean Singh, this is Stuart Smith saying, hey, stay tuned for the next Stock to Me podcast. And thanks so much for listening.
The following Stock to Me podcast was an Investor Brand Network audio production. IBN is a financial news and publishing company delivering a new generation of corporate communication solutions, including news aggregation and syndication, social communication, and enhanced news release services. Investor Brand Network may receive payments for corporate communications relations as well as various press releases and social media solutions provided to its clients. IBN holds no shares of any company named on the IBN sites, brands, and/or podcasts. To be clear, all officers, directors, and independent contractors of Investor Brand Network hold zero positions in and do not trade or intend to trade the securities for their own accounts. This interview is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell securities. Information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be, or should it be construed as, investment advice. As in all investments, investment in the featured company carries an investment risk. Listeners should review the company thoroughly with the registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This podcast audio interview by Investor Brand Network is not intended to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used and statements of fact have been obtained from featured company and other sources, but not verified nor guaranteed by Investor Brand Network as to completeness and accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice. Please see our full disclaimers and disclosures at investorbrandnetwork.com.